Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
It's always such a delight to see Roxy Berger. Oh,
a delight.
It is a delight. Yeah.
He's added like an old man there.
It's a delight.
Such a delight.
It's delightful. I've got some tea on the way. We'll do some crumpets in a bit. And then I thought we would just knit.
I love knitting.
You do knit a lot,
yes,
hey?
Well, I try. I mean, I don't think that it looks very good, but I have done the whole squares thing to make blankets before.
Nice.
But I don't think I could knit you like a cool jersey or something. Yeah.
So just to remind everyone, Roxy Berger is everything.
including nuts.
But you've never acted, right?
I acted as a kid.
Okay.
I actually acted before I presented as a child, but I can't sing.
Okay.
It is the one thing I cannot do. I'm tone deaf. And ironically, I come from a musical family. My dad's actually a professional musician.
Really?
Yeah. Taught himself to play guitar. My sister's a music teacher, can sing, play drums, play piano, everything. And my mom and I are absolutely tone deaf. It sounds like a cat is dying if I try and sing. For real. For real. So
maybe one day we'll see. That could be a top billing blooper. That'd be beautiful.
Auto-tune. Yeah. Can go a long way.
It's worked for a lot of people.
Exactly.
Okay, so on the cards at the moment, we have a presenter, we have entrepreneur, we have blogger, we have fashionista, we have MC, we have voiceover artist, we have... What else?
I actually haven't been doing that much voice work of late. So you can take that one off the
list. Okay, we can take that, back. Anything we need to add? Outside of like wife and all of that stuff.
Okay, wife. Maybe one day mother.
Okay.
Oh, Lordy. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that one day. I can barely look after myself, but nonetheless.
Yeah, your face does an interesting thing when you say mother and speak about yourself.
It scares me. That scares me. It really does. I think I'm one of those people who's quite honest about the fact that I'm proper scared about becoming a mom. You have to keep another human being alive. Like, you actually have to raise this person and hope that they're a decent human being one day. I think that's quite a responsibility. I do think sometimes people quite flippantly have children.
Is this what you think when you see all your friends doing it on Facebook?
Yeah, it's like, you know, and I'm not even going to lie. Some people I'm like, I don't know if you should be having kids. I know what you're like and what you get up to. No, I'm kidding. I mean, people must, you know, it's a personal choice. But it really, I mean, I want kids. Don't get me wrong. But I think it's something that people just do on a whim. And it's maybe needs a little bit more serious thought.
I wonder what in your context keeping up with the Joneses means. I mean, there's so many, there's, you know, your friends maybe they're probably... Most of them married at this point,
yeah,
popping out
kids.
Children, maybe not that focused on career you are. So like keeping up with the Joneses in your context, because you also have this dichotomy of friends who are very much like these media ambitious people and then just,
like,
you know, friends.
The people I went to school with. Yeah. I think I've never really cared about keeping up with the Joneses. And I think I don't actually have that many famous friends. I don't really move in circles in terms of friendships in media and in TV and radio and all those sorts of things. So my mates are generally sort of everyone who's, you know, like mates from school, friends that my husband and I have become good friends with, like couples, and, you know, you get your couple friends.
And
I've
then
never
games
really,
nights and all of that.
Yeah, you know, like all that. I kind of, and I've never actually been a party animal per se. I was never someone who, I mean, yeah, I had my varsity days where we all would go like student nights on a Thursday.
You know, you're
night.
Saying this and you were at Tomorrowland a few days ago.
Yes, I know. The irony. I was there for work.
Oh, okay.
But I really am not like this massive party animal. So I'm very social and I enjoy, you know, I enjoy seeing friends. But for me, like, I'd much rather go to a great dinner with great conversation and great wine. Yes, I may be hungover in the morning from my fabulous wine, but you won't find me anymore in a club. Vibes. It's just not where I'm at. And I was never really that person other than my varsity days. After I left varsity, I was kind of like, okay, like, I'm over it now. So, yeah, but I think I've always felt like I've lived a different life to my peers. And sometimes that's provided challenges because I was concerned with other things, not necessarily like my matric farewell or anything like that. And sometimes I think to the detriment of that life, being on TV, I think, yeah, I actually don't have that many friendships in my year of school. Actually none. I literally don't have a single friend left over from matric. My friends were all girls that went to another high school, and my friends are my husband's friends as well. And we've made new friends along the way. But it's – and I do think you lose something. And I mean, it's on a much smaller scale than, like, the Miley Cyruses of the world. But I can kind of, in a small way, relate to what they must go through.
Mm.
Because they hit this, like, insane amount of fame at such a young age. You kind of – and then without it, you don't know who you are without it. It was actually quite, like, for me, I know it might sound lame, but it was a little bit traumatic leaving KTV. Because from the age of 12 until the age of 21, for 9 years, that's what I did all the time, week in, week out, weekends. And then all of a sudden, you don't have this anymore, and mm-hmm. it's finished. And you're kind of like, well, who am I without this? Because it defined me for such a long time.
And such influential years in your life.
100% when you're growing up, when you're an adolescent. So it's actually, I would love to do like a thesis on that one day. I think it could be very interesting from a psychological perspective.
Mm.
I think it could be very, very interesting. So, yeah.
You spoke about great conversations, very important to you a little bit earlier on. What's the greatest conversation you've had so far this year?
Oh, the greatest conversation I've had thus far this year. Sure. I mean, on a very frivolous, fun level, I interviewed Emilia Clarke.
Oh, and yeah. You loved
that.
She
was hilarious.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that was just fun. It was honestly, I reckon, one of the best, if not the best interview I've ever conducted.
Cool.
I literally got her to say tit. Like she said, # left tit bigger than the right.
How many minutes did you have with her to get
minutes.
That? Four
that's
minutes
it.
To get
yeah.
tit. Wow, that's impressive.
Exactly. And we spoke about her boobs a lot. And
6 minutes you would have been shooting a porno with
100%,
her.
100%. She really is hilarious. She was just so much fun. But in terms of a sort of, I have very like serious heart to hearts with Rettini all the time.
Yes.
Y'all know Rettini
because
she's on Cliff Central, and we are constantly challenging one another and having, I mean, we talk a lot of crap as well, but
you need that. Yeah.
You do need that. So she's definitely someone that I'm constantly springboarding off of. She's definitely, but other than that, I don't know. You've put me on the spot. It's a difficult question to answer.
Listen, it seems like you have them very regularly. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I love that you were speaking about being younger as well. The other day we were out at Ikwezi Primary School in Soweto for Nelson Mandela Day with Kellogg's. It was all about Donate Your Great.
It was awesome.
And it was great to watch you speak to the grade sevens as well.
I tried. I feel as if I'm so not that inspirational, motivational speaker. I feel like I'm so bad at it. And Hulisani is so amazing
she's
at it.
Yeah, she is good.
She's just so, she switches it on. And I tried my best, but I felt like she was a tough act to follow. And it's just, you know, it's, you realize how important it is for people, young people of that age to have guidance and mentorship. And because that's where it all starts, hey? And if they don't get that grounding, it's so difficult as an adult to try and rectify any wrongs that have been done or, you know, just lost opportunities. So initiatives like that are really awesome. And I guess even if you can just speak to one person's heart and motivate them slightly, you know, it's something.
Mm.
It's something.
I mean, you started KTV at 12. Those kids are 12 years old. So there's a bit of a parallel there in terms of grade 7. And you were on the brink of this crazy journey when you were in grade 7.
And I'd already been working for 3 years prior to that.
Doing
I'd already started at like the age of 9, 10, auditioning and dealing with very intense disappointments.
Hmm.
So learning, I think, adult life lessons at a very young age to get to the final two for a very big role in a movie and to not get it. As a 9-year-old, that's heartbreaking.
It's
heartbreaking as an adult. But to understand that when you're so young and to try and accept that this just wasn't meant for me is quite a tough thing to face. So I think I learned about disappointment and acceptance. It took me a very long time to learn about acceptance and accepting that something's just not meant for you. So, I think because I'm an A-type personality and I'm a perfectionist, and I would be very hard on myself.
Mm.
And I've learned to let that go. So I think of late I've really learned to let that go.
So here's a question. I mean, if you were sitting in that classroom at Ikwezi Primary School, grade 7, and you heard yourself speak, this version of you in the future, how do you think you would take to this Roxy Berger individual who was, you know, telling you the stuff that, because you were, you know, motivating those kids?
I hope that I would be motivated by myself. I think, you know what I regret? I wanted to actually speak to the girls and I kind of forgot. And I wanted to say specifically to the girls, like, don't, I think we, and I mean, I don't mean to sound like a feminist and I'm not going to go and burn my bra, don't worry. But I do think, and I've noticed it in my own career. I mean, it's been an instance in my life where I literally did the same job as a man and by accident I found out that he was earning nearly double than what I was. And that is tough.
Yeah.
That is really difficult for me to swallow because, so I wanted to speak to the girls and say to them, and I wish I had. I really regret it. I almost wanted to at the end like add it in, but then it didn't feel appropriate.
Don't worry, we'll send them the podcast.
Yeah,
fine.
Just be like, here you go. I just wanted to say to the girls, like, don't ever feel that you are less. Because I think in many instances we are made to feel less. It is a fact that women still earn less than men in general, and I often find that you know, male presenters are maybe, for example, favored over a female presenter. Like, you know what it's like with radio drive time hosts. There are very few female drive time hosts, and that's also because the market has just become ingrained. You know, it's been ingrained in them that a strong male host is the way that it should be on the drive home or on the drive to work. So it's just the way that it is. It's things like, you know, you're crying like a girl, don't run like a girl. It's a negative thing to say that to someone, and it shouldn't be. So I wish I'd said that to them. I really wish I'd said that to them, because I sometimes feel like girls need to be reminded that you are actually incredibly strong and that you are worthy and that you can achieve just as much as the boy sitting next to you.
There's a lot of stuff in the world that just doesn't make sense.
No. Not at the world's going nuts at the moment.
Yeah, what is going on?
I don't know. It's sad. It's actually, sure, I sat back the other day and I was watching the news. It's actually, you kind of want to get to the point where ignorance is bliss. I don't know if I want to watch the news anymore. I don't know if I want to be informed. I know that's the wrong thing to say, but it can just be so depressing.
So overwhelming. Really,
it can be, completely.
You got to flip it around, though. You know, it's about starting your great. We were donating your great. We got to start your great. How do you start your great?
I try and be as disciplined as possible because I'm not a very disciplined person. Ironically, I'm this person who always leaves something to the last minute because I work well under pressure. That's why I thrived, I think, when I was in advertising, when I worked at agency for about 3 years. Like, I was so good at pumping out a strategy in 8 hours and working till 3-4 o'clock in the morning because I thrived off of that stress. I think that's why I enjoy live TV, because I thrive off of that sort of stress. It just keeps me going. But because of that, I don't have a lot of structure and I don't have routine, and that actually can become a downfall for me. So I do have to try and be as disciplined as possible. Like, I'm incredibly messy. And it's those little things. I think it's those little things. I look around and sometimes I'm like, oh, my room is an absolute mess. Like, it's a nightmare. And it can make you feel a little bit anxious, and my life's all over the place and it's a bit erratic. So I think for me, in order to perform at my best, I do really have to try, and I work hard at that. And it is something I've tried to work hard at, particularly over the last year. Gotten a little bit better and kept a list and got my list of stuff that I need to tick off, because I never used to do things like that. But I do try, because that also helps include your family and just make sure that you're balancing your life correctly. Because over the last year, I've also, my perspective on work has changed quite drastically. My father-in-law passed away in January, and because of that, it sounds so cliched, but it really has changed my perspective on life completely, because he also died in a very short space of time. He was only diagnosed in October. He died in January, and it's just, you really sit back and you think, wow. You know, yes, my career is amazing, but it really doesn't help when you're facing your death, you know, and you haven't spent time with your family. It really means nothing. It really does. No matter how great it is, and I think also try and use what you do for good, exactly like this. You know, I think stuff like this probably means more than getting that big deal or, you know, being the face of what. It's actually more important to rather help one kid at Kwezi Primary School that we went to, for example, than, you know, no one's going to remember that you were famous for that. And it doesn't mean anything when you haven't spent enough time with your family and your friends. So that's actually changed for me quite a lot over the last year. It really has.
Sounds like a good change, a hard change.
A difficult one.
Yeah.
Very tough. But I think that's at least the lesson that we've all taken away from it. You know, you sometimes question why these bad things happen, even in the world at the moment. You're like, why? why do these horrible things happen? It's nonsensical. It just, you know, it absolutely boggles the mind. But we really have to try and just learn lessons from it.
Absolutely.
I sound preachy. It's horrible.
No, it's great. It's great. You always speak, you know, authentically.
I try. And, you know, can only be genuine. Myself.
Yeah.
You know.
It is so cool as having you stop by. I have to, before we wrap this up, just say that this work that you're doing online, I mean, you do a hell of a lot and you've got great stuff going with 5FM
Thank
TV
you.
And Top Billing and that. But what I'm, and I said this to you a couple
you
of days
did,
ago.
And I really appreciate it.
Is the stuff that you're doing with your blog and the way you're integrating, you know, this whole lifestyle
yeah,
aspect
try.
Is very, very cool.
Thank you.
Let's wrap it up with taking the internet and making it work for you, because you're doing exactly that.
So I think the reason that spurred, you know, I started my blog last September, and I'm so amazed at how it's grown. It superseded my expectations. On day one, I think I had a ridiculous amount of hits. I was like, wow, I didn't even know what to expect, really. I hadn't even set myself goals. But when all this happened, I was like, okay, I think I've superseded whatever it is I wanted to achieve. And I went to London Fashion Week with Top Billing in February. And I saw that the front row of all of those massive fashion shows are filled with bloggers. They have a more authentic voice than what the, you know, people start to question, okay, Vogue magazine has given this brand a positive review, but then two pages forward, there's an advert.
Mm.
So they've got paid media in there. So how authentic is that review, etc.?
Mm.
Whereas bloggers have quite an honest voice. Yes, we also get paid to do stuff, and it's monetizing the content that you curate, but I still think that I give an honest opinion about something.
Mm.
And I'm very specific with who I partner with. If I don't believe in something, I'm not going to partner with them. And being at London Fashion Week, it really made me realize that as South Africans, I think sometimes we don't think globally. And of late, with people like Black Coffee and Trevor Noah, I think we've realized, okay, hold on. We actually can do this. There's no reason why we can't be on the world stage. And I sat back and I thought, there's no one from South Africa here.
Mm.
There's no big blogger here. No one is reporting on London Fashion Week. No one has been invited. And we should be. Somebody should be here. And I thought, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to try. And I really am trying to reach not only a South African market, which obviously I've already built, you know, a following here.
Yeah.
But my aim is to go overseas with it. Like, that is really, like, to bring a different perspective, an African perspective, just my own perspective. I can only be myself. And the opportunity exists. It really does. But I do think you have to put a hell of a lot of effort into it. I mean, it takes me time. I'm not even going to lie. And in the beginning, it costs you money. You know, you're not going to necessarily make money from it in the beginning, and it costs. But I love it. I genuinely enjoy it. I really enjoy curating this content and taking the photos. And I've even taken up photography, and I'm starting to experiment there a little bit. So I can start taking my own travel pics if I do like a travel feature. Because I'm lucky, I get to travel with Top Billing.
Mm.
So I can double up. Like, now we went to Tomorrowland, I'm going to do a piece on Brussels. Brussels in one day. Because we were literally in the city for one day.
So cool.
Stuff like that, you know. I know you've done London in 24 hours.
Yeah.
Which is, it's awesome. Like, it's great content. And we can do it. We really have to stop short-selling ourselves. There's no reason why we can't.
It's fantastic. It's roxyburger.co.za.
Yes, roxyburger.co. And I really want .com, but some stupid, annoying, shame, they're not stupid and annoying, a Canadian burger joint.
Yes, you said this.
I'm so frustrated. In Canada, they own the Roxy Burger in Vancouver, and it's actually quite a famous place. They've owned that domain for years. I reckon if I want to buy it off them, they're going to charge me a hell of a lot of money. But I want .com so badly, because I know that I can take this overseas. And obviously sometimes, you know, people see .co.za and they're like, they rather want to see .com.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. We'll speak to them.
We're going to have to, like, blackmail them in
some way. We'll
do
something. Maybe we can Skype them.
You are trademarking on my biological name. Could you not?
Not fair. Okay, cool. One final power line.
Yes.
What is it?
Power line. Oh. Mm.
The pull-out quote for the front of the magazine. Well, no, that's like 4 or 5 words. This can be a little longer. We'll stretch the copy. We'll speak to the art director.
I was going to say, you expect me to be a copywriter now. I pretended to be a copywriter all those years ago.
It was three good years. You said so.
I know, but I was a strat. I wasn't a copywriter. I made somebody else write all the copy. I think you are worthy, and don't underestimate yourself. It's really not sexy, that line at all, but whatever, you can make it sexy.
I like it. It is a story of how you start your great, maintain your great, grow your great. Very, very cool that there is, Roxy Berger. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.